Bombas has totally re-engineered socks with comfort innovations that add up to a way more comfortable pair of socks. 2 years of R&D led to multiple improvements of the sock design, performance, and comfort. And an arch support system that provides extra support where you need it most, and it feels like a hug around your foot. And Stay Up technology, 133 tension levels were tested to find the perfect tension that's comfortable, stays in place while not being too loose, and never leaves a mark. Plus super soft cotton that you will never want to take off. Best pair of socks ever, bar none. And one pair sold equals one pair donated. I would never tell you to do something that I don't do myself. Bombas are the socks that I wear every single day. I'm wearing them right now, and they are extremely comfortable. And right now, you get 20% off your first order if you go to bombas.com/Rome. That's BOMBAS.com. You'll get 20% off your first order. Bombas.com/Rome. Codename Rome. Best pair of socks ever. Live in Southern California in the Quicken Loan Studios, I am Jim Rome. Mortgage confidently with Quicken Loans. Two great hours, third hour coming up. Two first hours, we covered the NFL week one. Earl Thomas reportedly is showing up with Seattle. Not so happy to be there, though. He made that clear. Le'Veon Bell is still not with the Steelers. We had Tyron Woodley on, UFC welterweight champion. He was excellent. He had never been on the program before. We had Dave Roberts, who has been on and was awesome like he always is. Dodgers manager. Coming up in 15 minutes, Chase Elliott, the driver of the number 9 car, will be joining us. Phone lines are open. Check that. One phone line is open. The others are occupied. 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at Habitate.com. What I want to do, I understand that not all of you listen to the show start to end. Some of you drop in, some of you drop out. I could clearly reset right here what I've talked about already, but I want to keep moving. Fresh content, different stories. I want to talk some more baseball. I want to talk about the Seattle Mariners. Do you remember earlier this summer when the Mariners were the best story in all of baseball? Not in their division, not in the American League. I mean, the best story in all of baseball. The team with the longest playoff drought in all of professional sports, zero American League pennants, 42 seasons without a world championship. And they're out there playing their asses off and going toe-to-toe with the defending world champs in the AL West. Yeah, those dudes. Well, those dudes, the only ass they're kicking right now is their own ass. Because we're at the part of the season, the part of the schedule where the Mariners are fighting one another and then going out and getting housed by the worst team in baseball, Baltimore 5, Seattle 3. And if you're wondering how the M season is going right now, a team that's gassing out right before our very eyes in the wildcard race had enough in the tank to throw hands behind closed doors, but not enough to beat a team that's on pace to lose 114 games. That's how their season's going. News of the brawl started to break yesterday afternoon on Twitter. According to one local reporter, quote, D. Gordon asked reporters to step out of the clubhouse and all hell broke loose shortly after, end quote. I mean, I guess he had the presence of mind to clear the clubhouse out before he gave somebody the hands. The Seattle Times had maybe the best blow-by-blow of the proceedings from there, and I quote, after asking the media to leave, Gordon basically remained in the same spot. A few minutes later, there was the sound of yelling, bodies moving, and commotion. The once-closed doors to the clubhouse crashed open, showing an altercation between two players and about six players, including Cameron Maben, Mike Zunino, and Nick Vincent trying to break it up. Robinson Cano and others could be seen coming over to help defuse the situation. The actual participants couldn't be seen in the mass of bodies, and the doors were shut again, but Gordon could be heard screaming obscenities. End quote. So six dudes versus two. Obscenities being screamed, a mass of bodies. Was that a players-only meeting in the Mariners clubhouse or the upper deck at a Raiders game? Of course, M's skipper, Scott Service, tried his best to make the whole thing seem like it was no big deal at all. Quote, things happen in the clubhouse when you're talking about 25 guys, and in this case, now 35, of the most competitive guys you're ever going to be around, and they spend what seems like every waking moment together. End quote. I mean, the ultimate manager thing to say. The 25 most competitive guys ever who spend 6 months together and more time here than they do with their own families, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, fine, Scott. Fine, Skip. I understand stuff like that does happen in every major league clubhouse, probably every major league season. But you don't go out and chuck knucks with your boys and then lay down against the worst team in baseball history if you're so competitive. If you're the 25 most competitive guys ever, you don't give each other the hands and then lay down against the worst team ever. You don't have an all-out melee that spills right into the media's lap, claim that it's just your guys caring way too much and being way too competitive, and then get put on your back against Baltimore. You don't blow an 11.5 game lead in the wild card standings, get the guys together for one last no holds barred battle royale, and then turn Alex Cobb into Moose Messina. Now, to be fair, I'd already counted out the M's. I'd already counted them for dead. The Yankees are still the Yankees. The A's won't quit. And while I guess 5.5 games with 23 to play is not technically dead, when you're spilling out of the clubhouse and into the hallways to get after the guys wearing the same cap and sleeves as you, and then you get knocked the hell out by the O's, you may as well just stay down. Stay down, pretend you're dead, take the 10 count, and come back swinging next spring. I know one thing. You don't want to make the argument that we just care too much, we're just so competitive, and then get knocked out by a team that's going to lose 114. But then again, that's life for a Mariners fan, right? Get a taste. Get a taste of the life. Get a taste of how the other side lives, and then puke it all up all over your own shoes. A hell of a season just got tossed on the grill right next to those grasshoppers that you're paying $4 a plate for. But hey, it was fun while it lasted, right? Better than it usually is. And now they're giving each other the hands and still puking all over themselves. The Mariners doing the Mariners things. Isn't that right, Hawk?
That is right.
That's your team.
They suck.
Saying something sucks, Hawk, is not a take. Except you saying your team sucks is not bad. Johnny Scab tweets, Jimmy, you would have to be a top button buttoning, mustache wearing, cat tattoo having, unable to put on the shoes, idiot, to believe in the Mariners. Well said, Scab. Well said. I don't. I never have. I never have. I mean, I couldn't even believe in those guys. If I couldn't believe in those guys when they had Griffey, when they had the unit, when they had Edgar, when they had A-Rod, when they had Jay Buhner, when they had Joey Cora even. If I couldn't believe in them then, and I didn't, how the hell would I believe in them right now? I don't. Hey, Pimp, did the Bills give credit to whatever high school student made that video for their graduation project? Hawk just asked Keith what a graduation project is. Jeff from the 919. Let me tell you about this royalty-free techno.
Hey, I like to get hyped for a game.
So Jake Rome is living the life right now. He's taking a TV class in high school, and they're running around trying to produce things. I'm going to show him that video and say, this is the bar. This is the bar, son. This is what you're aiming for.
I take my shirt off!
The ultimate, ultimate hype video. Nathan Peterman. I'm telling you, when I hear that techno, that royalty-free techno, I get hyped. When I get hyped, I take my shirt off.
Hype for games! When I get hyped, I take my shirt off!
Dear Jim, Peterman will definitely live up to the hype. Peterman will definitely live up to how good he looks in that video. Yours, Applebee's Food. Signed, Brett from Bugaha. TGI Friday's elitist. Damn. About to sour you something. Still not getting on the podcast. Name one restaurant that has TV ads where the food is as good as it looks. There are a few. What do you think, Alvin? Or are you going to disrespect me again on mic? Buffalo Wild Wings, for sure. For freaking sure. All right, still have things I've not gotten to yet. A U.S. Open fan dropping chicken into soda and trying to justify that. I'll try to stay away from that. The two things I really don't want to talk about. The year of the testicle injury and some gal dropping chicken into soda and trying to justify that. The two things I never want to talk about in the program. I may get to one of them. But before I get to either one of them, I've got the driver of the number 9 car, Chase Elliott. And that's coming up in a few moments. Sit down, Hawk. It's too late. Hey, go ahead. Bring it in. God, this guy's confused. Hey, Adam, that bed, that music that is under every live read I had, did you not hear that in your studio?
No, I did not.
Hey, Rome, I've been a Mariners fan my whole life. You owe me a new cup of coffee because I just sprayed mine all over my workstation. That is the most hilariously accurate description of a Mariners fan life that I've ever heard, period. Mike in Ferndale. I know, Mike. I know. They pay me to be hilariously accurate in the way I depict things. I mean, I can see that from here. I can see what's going on in Seattle from here. That's easy. I'm not surprised at all. I'm surprised it took that team that long to give each other the hands, given how badly they played and how good their season looked. Glad I could pick you up. Go ahead, Albie. Roll it. eBay has everything you need to do football season your way. Watching the game at home? Nothing says Sunday football like a crock pot full of your semi-famous turkey chili, right? Tailgating. Then keep the drinks extra cold in a new ice blue Yeti cooler. Are you in the stands? Then rep your ride or die team with jerseys, hats, and more. No matter where you're watching, never miss a play because your new Roku Express caught everything. Visit eBay and feel like you scored a TD without ever picking up a ball. Game day. It's happening on eBay.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
If you want to compete at the highest level, you need to be strong. You need to stay strong. Like, as an example, Castrol Edge. It is the strongest full synthetic motor oil. In fact, 3 times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. That's not me talking. That is the legend, Kurt Orban,
Kurt
talking.
Orban.
Castrol Edge, stronger under pressure. Rome, dunking chicken in soda. Why didn't I think of that? Regards, the guy who came up with putting pineapple on a pizza. That's not as offensive to me. I've done that. Not only did I do that, I didn't think that was unusual. Unwar adults who order chicken tenders at a restaurant. Steam PHX. Steve, my analytics say, and I've got the numbers on this. My analytics say that you have emailed this show over the years 38,214 times. The same analytics say that I have read your emails on this show 128 times. My analytics say I haven't agreed with one thing you've said either on or off the air. That too. Jeff Passan tweets, because I am a man of the people and pride myself on having a refined palate. I am trying Coke dipped chicken tenders this week, and I will report back. I fully anticipate loving it. My man's going against the grain. He's going contrarian. As promised, if you're on hold, stay there. We're joined right now by the driver of the number 9 Chevrolet for Henrik Motorsports in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. 2016 Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series that I'm talking about. Rookie of the Year. He recorded his first career cup win at Watkins Glen back in August. He clinched his third consecutive playoff spot with that win, the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, live from Indianapolis Motor Speedway, is Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern on NBCSN. We are joined by Chase Elliott. Chase, great to have you on the show. Good morning. How are you?
Good, man. How are you?
Good, good. So you're coming off a fifth-place finish at the Southern 500. It was your sixth straight top 10. How pleased were you with that performance, and how do you feel about the way the team is running right now with the playoffs approaching?
Yeah, no, it's been a decent last early month, I guess, or so. I felt like we got to Loudon a month or so ago, and seems like we've been a little better, I think, than we were, you know, throughout the season leading up to that point. So that's been encouraging. Nice to be able to grab a win and lock in to the playoffs and have a shot to go for a championship. So looking forward to these next 10, 11 weeks.
All right, so what about that? You've got the win, which I'll get to in a minute, but Sunday's race in Indianapolis is the final regular season race before the playoffs. So in that sense, is it just another race, or with the playoffs about to start, do you approach it a little bit differently?
Yeah, I don't really think we approach it any differently. I think the good news is for us, and which is different from what I've been in the past couple of years, we've always gone into that cutoff race and been right on the line or had a good opportunity to either get in or miss it as well. So I just nice to be able to go to these last three or four races and know that we're locked in and not have to worry and play that battle of, play the game of being right there on the cut line. So I've certainly enjoyed that. I think we can be a little more aggressive because of that. But it's still important to get race wins and the benefits that you achieve by doing so. They help you so much in the playoffs that, you know, you have to be aggressive and you can't really sit back and cruise into it.
Chase Elliott joining us here in the jungle. Now, I had your teammate Jimmy Johnson on the show last week, and we talked about your win at Watkins Glen last month. I want to hit that for a moment, but you had a wheel hop in turn one of that final lap. So what was going through your head when that happened?
Yeah, that is not what you're looking for. I came to the white flag, and I had a decent gap on the 78 and just thought, hey, idiot, don't mess up this lap and you'll be fine. And went off into turn one and had some wheel hop issues and luckily was able to gather it back up. But the one thing I was like, just don't mess up. And the first thing I did was messed up. So it was definitely not what I was hoping for. Way more eventful than I was shooting for, but we'll take it. It worked out.
Good on you. It did work out. Chase Elliott, my guest. You also ran out of gas, and then Jimmy came along, and he gave you a push. What was that moment like for you?
It was incredible, man. Jimmy has become such a great friend of mine, and he's an incredible teammate, but I feel like our friendship has grown stronger over the past year or so, and he's certainly lended advice and just been super nice through some of my tougher days at the racetrack and a guy in his position certainly does not have to be like that. So I've just been appreciative of that and awful lot to be learned from a guy like him who, you know, obviously has had a ton of on track success, but, you know, I feel like the way that he approaches his life off the track is really just as impressive. And I think anybody can tell you that. So it's been great to grow that friendship and that was a great moment.
Chase Elliott joining us. Chase, you had come so close so many times. I mean, going into that race, you had 8 runner-up finishes. You know, it's all a process. It's all a journey. I understand that. What was it like to have that many near wins, and then how good did it feel to finally break on through the way you did?
Yeah, no, that's definitely, certainly a big factor in it. And it's like I told somebody the other day, you know, obviously, I would have loved to have won before August of this year, but, you know, at the same time, I can tell you that if we had won a race in my rookie year, I wouldn't have appreciated as much as I did, you know, being in year three and having those tough days. It makes you appreciate the good ones more, it's just satisfying and just a lot of reassurance, I think, to everybody involved on our team that, hey, you know, when we're at our best and we have things going and we have things go our way, we can compete with these guys. And I think ultimately that was the biggest thing. And you always have that confidence and you believe in that along the way. But just to have the result to show it certainly doesn't, you know, you can't it doesn't get any better than that. So just been a it was a great weekend. That's the only bad thing about our sport is the weeks go by quick and the next race comes up fast and you have to move on.
Chase Elliott joins us. You know, it doesn't get any better than that, except for maybe if you've got your family there to celebrate it with you, especially if your father, Bill, is the legend of the sport that he is. What did that mean to be able to share that moment with him?
Yeah, it was awesome. I wish my mom had been there, too. Unfortunately, she was at home, you know, but to have Dad there, he was actually spotting for me in one of the corners. So he played a little bit of a role in the win, which I thought was cool. And just to have him there, you know, he's been there through, you know, those rougher days and he's kind of lived it alongside with me, him and my mom. So it's just nice to have him there and be able to, you know, share that moment was pretty special.
Yeah. What about the other side of that? I mean, if I go back to that, he was running at Road America last month and you served as his spotter. What was it like to see him back in the car and how was it serving as his spotter?
Yeah, well, I actually ended up not spotting. That was the original plan.
Okay.
I ended up just kind of going and watching. But still, you know, man, he just wanted to go have some fun, and he still enjoys racing. He does some other types of racing as well. And those guys asked if he wanted to drive that car, and I think he just wanted to go enjoy it and have a good time. And I think ultimately, you know, mission success. I think he had a great weekend, a lot of fun, and kind of got to see, you know, how the cars drive now, which I thought was neat, and to kind of hear his feedback. And, yeah, we enjoyed it, man. He's watched me do a lot of racing over the past 6-7 years. And, you know, before that, it was me watching him do a lot of races. So it was just cool to kind of bring back some old memories of that and kind of get the shoe back on the other foot again.
Got another moment or so with Chase Elliott before he goes. Chase, I think a lot of people know you're a huge Georgia football fan. And you've been referencing a line from Kirby Smart, quote, pressure is privilege. Pressure is privilege. What does that mean to you? And then how do you approach racing as a result?
Yeah, no, I think that, you know, that's something that can really apply in any sport or any pressure-filled situation. You know, if you're in a situation that has pressure on you or is making you work a little harder, that means there's something to be benefited from on the other side that you care about and that matters. And if you're in those spots, you're doing something right to get there in the first place. So I think just recognizing that, knowing that, you know, you know, for me, I guess the way it translated was, you know, running second 8 times, you know, you don't do that by, it's not all luck at that point, I don't feel like. So I think just recognizing that, you know, hey, if we're in those positions again and we have opportunities to go and close out a race or whatever it is, just to embrace the moment and make the most of it and realize that it's there for a reason.
Chase, one last thing. This is really key, I think. Really critical point. I want to touch on something you and Dale Jr. hit on recently. Dale Jr. tweeted, "Can a driver wear his own throwback gear?" I always get weird wearing stuff with my own image or name on it, but it gets murky when it's a 20-year-old throwback. Opinions, please, end quote. And you responded with, absolutely not. Lay that out for me. How come?
Man, I just cannot hop on the bandwagon of wearing my own stuff. I just think that is really weird. I don't know. I mean, I guess if you're okay with it and you think it's fine, whatever, that's your call. But for me, I've just always been... That's just one of my things. Everybody's got their things they don't like, and I just can't get into wearing my own stuff. So, yeah, I don't know. I just, that's not me. So, hey, whatever floats your boat.
No, I get it. I can't argue with you. I'm sure the guys making that swag or making that merch would love to see you wear it, but I can understand why you might not want to. The Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series live from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern on NBCSN. Chase Elliott, the driver of the number 9 Chevrolet for Hendrick Motorsports, joining us. Chase, great to have you on the show. Thanks so much. Congrats on the win. Good luck this weekend.
Many thanks. Y'all have a good day.
You too. Chase, have a great day. Chase Elliott coming in. He's 22, by the way. Just 22. And you can add him to the list. We've talked about him on the program, but he has never been on the program. Add him to the end of your NASCAR disclaimer. Class act. Showed up on time. Represented his sport well. Competes in the moment. Focused on the interview. Good guy.
Good guy.
Top performer.
They know what they're doing.
Respects the fans.
There's no better league to deal with than NASCAR.
Gives back, appreciates the sport, has time for the fans.
And NASCAR has won me over.
I like it. I get it.
They call on time. They do good interviews. They have good attitudes.
It's big.
It's not going away. Good interview, shows up on time. Every one of those guys is like that. It won me over. I will say for the record once again, I've done a 180.
He's not Tony Stewart. Rusty Wallace is my favorite guest. And if it's not Rusty Wallace, it's Clint Boyer and his bus driver, Curtis. I did not break the pace car. Carl Edwards, class act, Trevor Bain. The best energy. And I love Jeff Gordon. I can't pick favorites, but Jimmy Johnson's my favorite. And Brad Keselowski is right there. Chase Elliott coming in. He's 22, by the way. Ow, man. That is so strong. That gives me the belief that when you start the weekend that was on Monday, you're going to be fine, son. You're going to be great. We'll come back with a final segment. And in that final segment, I mentioned Jeff Passan said, I'm going to try it this week. And I fully expect to love it. Passan just stirring the pot. Just swimming upstream. Trying to just kind of aggravate people. Or I don't know. Maybe it's one of those cases where don't crack it till you try it. It seems like a pretty horrible idea. Dropping poultry into soda. And I say that as somebody who's married to somebody who drops popcorn into soda. That's coming up next. You can weigh in. If you're on hold, you might get through. We're done with the interviews. Time now for your bottom of the hour sports update. You always get one during this show. Here is... time to get to the ATP Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs and get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Wednesday, ATP, Tim in Providence, Rhode Island. Hi, Jim. You've mentioned this new podcast a couple of times. When are you spilling the beans on the new pod? And can it have a segment where we ask Hawk sports trivia? It's not a bad idea. That'd be fun for everybody except Hawk. That's not what I was going to do, but I might now. Maybe there's going to be two new pods. No, that's not it. You know what? I could spill the beans right now. I've got a brand new pod, and I'm actually going to have a partner on this pod. It's called RPO. RPO. Rome Price Opinion. It is currently available right now on iTunes. It's not out yet. We're going to launch it on Monday, but it's currently available on iTunes right now, so you can start to subscribe. And what it is RPO, Rome Price Opinion. Former NFLer Trevor Price is going to do a podcast with me and me with him, and we're going to do it every single Monday, and we're talking NFL. Now, knowing Trevor the way I know Trevor, it's obviously NFL. We're talking NFL. He's won two Super Bowls, multiple Pro Bowler, and this guy's got lots of takes, lots of opinions, but on lots of things, not just football. So we'll see how it goes. I'm hyped. He's hyped. My man wants to talk football. He's got – Trevor's so interesting. When Trevor played, I used to have him on this show, and we'd talk football, but, like, he was such a dynamic guy and so interesting. He's one of the rare athletes that had a record label, and the record label was killing it. And I knew people in the record industry who were saying, this is not just some jock or some athlete who's doing this because he can. Like, this guy really knows music, really has a great ear. So he had a lot of respect. He's created other content. He's selling things in Hollywood. But he had this Jones, this thing about, like, man, I got to talk some football. I really want to talk football. He loves tennis, too. So RPO, I'm fired up for it. I'm going to have the Jim Rome podcast, which is probably, in fact, assuredly going to move to Wednesdays. So we'll still do that once a week. Episode number 50 is going to drop next week. We're going to move that to Wednesday. RPO is going to drop on Monday. So two original podcasts. And that's the new one. That's going to start on Monday. Hey, do me a favor. Get to iTunes. It's also going to be on Google Play, radio.com app, all the places where you get that thing, and iTunes. Subscribe right now. Once you subscribe, you're done. It'll find you. You never have to look for it. And it's going to be awesome. So that's coming up on Monday. The Stump Hawk podcast, not in the pipeline yet. You cannot subscribe to that yet. So look for Trevor Price and I every week during the football season, starting next Monday, RPO. Go to iTunes, search RPO, Rome Price, P PRYCE, and subscribe. We're grinding out. I'm looking to create content. Hawk, why do you look so upset? All you have to do is just bone up. You'll be fine. You won't get any of them right. We're grinding. We're creating content here. We're looking to build things still. We're coming hard. So I'm looking forward to that. That's Monday. All right, in the meantime, let's talk tennis for a minute. I mentioned Trevor Price, his big tennis guy. Fed, mopped by nobody. Joker, back from the dead. Nadal survived instant classics like that 2 a.m. five-setter last night. Serena running down 24. And heat so bad, it has stopped multiple matches. Yet none of those extremely compelling storylines in the U.S. Open come anywhere near that grotesque scene that played out in the Flushing Meadows crowd back on Labor Day. Now, you never know what you're going to see when you take a live shot in the stands. But time stood still Monday when cameras picked up a woman with literally no regard for human life, dunking a giant chicken tender into her cola and housing a bite. Yes, I said it. A chicken tender dunked into cola on purpose and then driven down the hatch. Now, I've seen some things now, but I've never seen that. Hell, my wife dipping popcorn in Pepsi thinks that submerging a chicken finger into soda is insanity. I mean, were they out of ketchup, mustard, ranch, barbecue sauce, horseradish, tartar, Dijon, mayo, hell, Miracle Whip? In what universe does Coca-Cola constitute a dipping sauce? Could this woman just not wait to take a sip of her drink? Turns out this woman is Alexa Greenfield. And Alexa has got an explanation. Because after she went viral with the dunk scene around the world, Fox 5 ran her down and got the backstory from her.
It's not something I commonly do anymore. I did it very frequently growing up. And I still do sometimes at stadiums and, you know, with, like, fanfare chicken fingers.
So you had no idea that you were being filmed when you did this?
No, I got a text 5 minutes later from a friend that said, I just saw you dipping a chicken finger in Coke on TV. And I was like, oh, no.
So what is the secret? Because I don't understand. Does it taste good?
I guess my dad had me doing it when I was younger. I guess he was like, if it's hot, you can cool it off. But he was a strange eater, too. I don't know. I guess that's where it originated. And then I just really liked the taste.
So your old man told you, if the chicken finger is hot, you can cool it off by dunking it in Coke. I don't know. My old man just told me to wait. My old man told me to blow on it. He told me to wait. He never told me to just press the fast forward button on life and drop it into Coke. Since when has anybody dunked fried poultry into Coke? If your dad told you to jump off a bridge, would you do that too? No, all dads say, hey, if so-and-so told you to jump off a bridge, would you do that too? Hey, if your dad told you to dunk chicken in Coke, would you do that too? Dude told you to dunk your poultry in soda and you did. Hey, look. You want to slam French fries into a chocolate shake? By all means, do it. I never have. I never will. But I don't really have a huge issue with that. You want to dump a root beer over a scoop of vanilla ice cream? Go ahead, make me one too. You want to dip a chicken finger into soda? Man, do it in the privacy of your own home. Damn it, Alexa. There are kids watching. And if you think that I'm outraged, which I am, I'm not the only one. Alexa has people who want her to serve time. Hard time.
People are telling me I should go to jail.
It's an offense, huh? It's an offense, huh?
Yeah, that's getting off easy. She knows it. Because even she knows it's weird. She told TMZ she stopped this hideous practice in high school because she knew it was utterly whack.
It started when I was younger. Like, I can't remember a time that I wasn't doing it. I stopped for a brief period. I think when I was maybe in, like, middle school or high school, I was like, this is too weird to bring into adulthood. I can't. So for years, I stopped. And then at one point I was just like, F it. I like it. I'm going to try it again. So I was at a Knicks game and it was the first time I'd done it in like 4 or 5 years. And then I just kept going.
Like, don't you want to like her? Like, she sounds cool and fun. And then I keep seeing the video of what she did. I mean, Alexa, this is America, land of the free. But there are rules, Alexa. You can't just go running around dunking chicken into soda. You just can't. Not when there are 100 other reasonable condiments out there. And not when you can just chase that bite of chicken with a sip of Coke. Right? No need to merge the eating and drinking process. And like I said, if you're going to do this, at least have some respect, some dignity about the entire thing. Do it in the concourse. Do it during the commercial breaks, because nobody wants to see that. Nobody needs to see that. You might be enjoying your lunch, but you're ruining all of ours. Like, I'll never be able to see chicken fingers the same way ever again. In fact, I'm not even sure I'll ever be able to eat a chicken finger ever again. No, I don't order them ever. But look, I'm not going to lie. You know, if my kids got one, you know, I'll look around. If there's dignity involved, I'll sneak a bite. But I'm not going to dip it in Coke before I do so. Right? Ranch, sure. Now, of course, this opens it up to all sorts of reaction. And I'm not going to lie, you've got about 30 seconds. I'm open to it. I'm genuinely curious what you freaks get down with when it comes to bizarre food combos. Hit me up. You've got 15 seconds. Go. Just don't expect me to jump Alexa. Or don't expect you to jump Alexa, because, I mean, she's paying property taxes on the podium of weird and disgusting. It's just a strange thing to do. I don't see it. I don't get it. I'm not doing it. Chicken in soda. Jeff Passan is. Passan says he'll do it and he expects to like it.
It's an offense.
Passan's like always the smartest dude in every room he walks into. So I would hate to take offense or take exception to that. But I would in that case. I'm not doing it. And again, this is somebody who married somebody who drops popcorn into Pepsi. I thought that was the weirdest thing. Like, Janet started doing that and still does that as an adult. Somebody in middle age. Janet will go to a movie theater. She'll never do it at home. She'll never do it in a restaurant. She'll never do it anywhere. But in a movie theater, Janet will get popcorn and dip it in her Pepsi. And not to cool off the popcorn, but she says there's something about the sweet and the sour, like the salt and the sugar, that works. I'm like, how can that be? It's just like soggy popcorn. Soggy, overpriced, stale popcorn with way too much butter. It sounds disgusting. But not as disgusting as chicken fingers going in. And I don't care if it's Coke Zero, Coke Light, regular Coke, Diet Coke. Hey, Rome, why the outrage over somebody dipping their chicken tenders in soda? Regards, dipping pizza in ranch, dipping French fries in vinegar, and smearing peanut butter on a cheeseburger. Dan in Richmond, here we go. Hey, Rome, I've been outed for my weird eating habits at the U.S. Open. Remember my ice cream sundae face? Signed, George Costanza. Joe in the ATX, worst Seinfeld day. Seinfeld day, I should say, in the jungle. I told you, I'm not a Seinfeld guy at all. Not the show, not the guy. I'm just not feeling it. I'm not here to hate. I just don't think it's funny. Hey, Rome, I don't think there's anything wrong with dipping chicken in soda. I'll try it the next time my ex takes me to Jack in the Box. Regards, Ben Affat. Tony from Iowa City. Were Iowa beating Iowa State this Sunday? Jeremy Lanza tweets, do we get treats for getting this pod to the top 10, top 5? Hashtag Romageddon sequel. It's not a bad idea. The box of chaos that never got redeemed. If you get Trevor and I to number one with our new podcast, there's Hawk. Hawk's got the box of chaos. He kept it. I'm going to save that one. Maybe. Maybe. Barbasol Razors has got the huge call. After 100 years of making shaving cream, Barbasol is finally making razors. That's a no-brainer. Try the new Barbasol Ultra 6 Plus with 6 ultra-thin blades. Save right now at Barbasol.com. That's a good day now. Tyron Woodley, Dave Roberts, Chase Elliott. Good phone calls. Content on the cutting room floor that we didn't even get to. Maybe the return of the Box of Chaos. if you can get the RPO podcast to number one. I'll think about that. No promises yet. I'll think about it. Also, Ep 49 of the Jim Rome podcast, D'Angelo Hall is out there. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow, Rob.